Chapter 13. Henry thought he must be losing his mind. The smile on his sister's face looked like the smile of a woman in love, and that was impossible. Yet he had seen a similar expression before on Polly's face. He had to believe that Polly had honestly loved him, otherwise nothing in his life had ever had any meaning, and he might as well go mad. During those dark days when Titus's return from the dead had turned all their lives upside down, Titus had hinted that Polly had had other reasons for marrying Henry, more disturbing reasons. There had been the baby, of course. Polly didn't want their child to be born out of wedlock. But she must have loved him, Henry thought, otherwise she never would have made love with him in the first place. His own life was a thicket of emotion and tragedy, too tangled and dense for him to even try to make sense of it now. But one thing shone through. He had seen the smile of a woman in love often enough to recognize it, and he saw it on Cordelia's face now. A chilly wind blew out of the northeast as Henry stood just inside the barn and watched her walk toward the creek. She had been spending more and more time down there lately. Sometimes she came back with a fish dangling from a stringer, and on those occasions the Brannans and Louisa Abernathy had a decent meal for a change. Cordelia had been doing more of the cooking lately, along with Louisa, and it was amazing how they were able to make something out of nothing. But Cordelia wasn't catching enough fish to justify all the time she spent at Dobie's Run. Something odd was going on. Henry decided he was going to find out what it was. He let Cordelia get well away from the house before he started after her. Then he walked toward the creek, knowing she would head for the place where the stream made a bend and formed a deep hole where fish liked to congregate. That is, he corrected himself, that's where she'd go if fishing were really all she had in mind. The sky was overcast. It would rain later, Henry thought, as he glanced up at the clouds. Summer was over at last, and he was happy to see it go. Atlanta had fallen, Richmond was still threatened by the Yankees, and nothing good had happened for the Confederacy since the foe had been turned back at Cold Harbor. Even that victory had come at a high price. Before it had taken place, General Jeb Stuart, the dashing cavalry commander, who once had seemed invincible, had fallen at the Battle of Yellow Tavern. Stuart's death mattered to the entire Confederate army, especially the cavalry, of which Henry's brother Mac was a member. The death of one infantry captain named Brannan hadn't been nearly as important in the great scheme of things, except to the people who had loved Will. Henry shook those gloomy thoughts out of his head. He was faced with a mystery now in Cordelia's behavior, and he was determined to get to the bottom of it. As a child, Henry had idolized his older brothers and wanted to be just like them. He wanted to be as tough as Will, as good with animals as Mac, as fine a shot as Titus, and as big a dreamer as Corey. It had taken a long time for Henry to accept the realization that he would never equal his brothers at any of those things, although he was better than average at most of them. Mac and Titus both had been able to move through the woods with the silent stealth of an Indian. Henry was almost as quiet as he slipped through the brush and trees along the bank of the creek. He paused from time to time to listen. He was rewarded when he heard the sounds of voices up ahead. He had been right, he told himself. Cordelia was meeting someone here at the stream. Henry couldn't figure out who it might be, though. Nearly all the eligible young men in the county had gone off to fight in the war. Of the ones who had come back, most were badly wounded or permanently crippled. The mere fact that Cordelia might have a bow didn't surprise Henry. She was a normal young woman, at least as far as he knew, and he recalled that she had been sweet on Nathan Hatcher at one time, before Nathan had turned out to be a Yankee-loving traitor. Henry paused and debated furiously with himself. Though he couldn't make out the words, that was definitely his sister's voice he heard. Cordelia was talking to a man. Henry told himself that he had no right to interrupt them. A sudden merry laugh from Cordelia convinced him more than ever that she was in no trouble and that there was no real reason for him to interfere. No reason other than the fact that she was his sister, and as her big brother he had a right, no, a responsibility, to keep an eye on her and make sure she was conducting herself as a proper young lady from Virginia should. He slipped forward in a crouch. parting the bushes a little so he could peer through the tiny gap he had created. What he saw shocked him to his depths. Cordelia was sitting on a fallen tree, smiling and talking and laughing with a young man who sat beside her, and that young man wore the blue uniform of a Yankee. As Henry watched, transfixed by surprise and anger, the Yankee turned his head to say something to Cordelia. Henry recognized the profile of Lieutenant Joseph Keller. That wasn't a surprise. He understood now why Keller had brought them the hams and why the lieutenant had taken such an interest in the Brandon family. It wasn't the rest of them Keller was interested in, just Cordelia. More than likely, he had been smitten by her the first time he saw her. Putting aside the fact that she was his sister, Henry knew how pretty Cordelia was, and smart and compassionate to boot. A young man would have to be both blind and a fool not to take an interest in her. But a Yankee, for God's sake! And from the looks of things, Cordelia was encouraging him. Henry's jaw tightened in anger as he saw her rest a hand lightly on Keller's arm while they talked. The intimacy of the gesture infuriated him. He had to do something about this. He had to put a stop to it. Now. Cordelia wasn't sure exactly when things had changed between her and Joseph Keller. At first, she didn't even know why she agreed to meet him at the creek several times a week. There were the supplies to consider, of course. The family really needed the provisions that Keller brought to them. And although she hated to think she was currying favor with the enemy, it might not hurt to have a friend in the Union camp in case of bad trouble. Cordelia didn't believe for an instant that Keller would betray his fellow soldiers or go against the commands of his superior officers in order to help the Brandon family, if it ever came down to that. He was too honorable for such behavior. But if he could do something to help them without compromising his principles, Cordelia thought he would. Above all else, she found that she enjoyed his company, enjoyed having a friend again. She and Louisa had become close during the time the older woman had spent on the farm, but that wasn't the same. Though she might have liked to deny it, if Cordelia was going to be honest with herself, she had to admit that she liked Keller. She was even attracted to him. And that attraction was returned. He made that clear by the way he looked at her and spoke to her in his kind, gentle voice. He had never done anything improper. In fact, the first time she had touched his arm as they talked, he had looked as if he wanted to pull away for fear of offending her. But he hadn't. And on subsequent visits, she had been able to tell that he was growing more comfortable with her. She was certainly more relaxed around him. In fact, today she had thought that it might be time for her to take the initiative, to be daring, and kiss him. He might think she was terribly forward, but she was ready to risk it. The only thing holding her back was the knowledge, ever present in the back of her mind, that he was a Yankee, a member of the army that had invaded her homeland and killed her brother. But not all Northerners were evil. She had never believed that, no matter what the firebrands and the staunch Confederates like her mother claimed. And she knew as well from the things Joseph had told her that he had never been in combat, had never been responsible for the deaths of any Southern boys. The way she felt was an awful dilemma, and Cordelia didn't know what the answer was. Maybe Joseph could help her figure it out. She leaned closer to him, tipped her head back slightly so she could look up into his face. They had been laughing over something one of them had said. Cordelia didn't even remember what it was. But now, they both grew solemn.
"Joseph,"
she said, her voice barely above a whisper. That was when her brother Henry burst out of the bushes nearby, shouting, "Cordelia, get away from that Yankee!" With a shocked gasp, she sprang to her feet and turned to face Henry. One of her hands went to her breast. Joseph stood up as well, his hand moving toward the flap of the holster at his waist. "Henry," Cordelia said, "what in the world?" "I said get away from that Yankee." Henry pointed a finger at Joseph. "Leave her alone, you bastard." "Hold on, Brennan," Joseph said, his voice shaking with barely repressed anger. "You can't talk to me like that." "I'll talk to you any way I damn well please. This is still Brennan land. And it's under martial law and federal jurisdiction." Cordelia said,
"Stop it, both of you."
She moved to place herself between them.
"Henry, go on back to the house.
There's no need for you to be here. The hell there's not! From what I saw, it looked like this damn Yankee was about to molest you. That's not true at all. Now her anger got the best of her, made her careless about what she was saying. I'll have you know that I was about to kiss him.
What?
Henry said, outraged, while Joseph just stared.
You were?
She turned briefly and swaddled a hand against his broad chest.
Don't be such a dolt. Of course I was.
Facing Henry again, she went on, Lieutenant Keller is a gentleman. He would never take advantage of a woman. Henry's fists were still clenched, and Keller still rested a hand on his holstered pistol. The air was thick with impending violence. Cordelia knew that if she budged from her position between them, something terrible might happen. So she stayed where she was and fixed a stern glare on her brother. Right now, she was more afraid of what he might do than she was of Joseph's possible reaction. Henry had gone through a time of terrible tragedy and strain ever since Titus had returned the previous Christmas. He had seen his world torn apart and had lost both his wife and their unborn child. Cordelia feared he might snap, and if he did, there was no telling what he might do. Finally, Henry said, This has been going on for weeks, hasn't it?
Nothing is going on, Cordelia said. Lieutenant Keller and I are friends, that's all. He's been kind enough to bring us more supplies whenever he could.
So that's how you've been doing it. I wonder where all that food came from.
Henry's face was cold, merciless. I never figured you were consorting with the enemy to get it.
Henry Brennan, I've never consorted with anybody.
Be careful what you say, Brennan, Joseph put in. I won't have you insulting Cordelia.
You're the insult just being here on our land, Henry said.
Then perhaps I'd better go. Cordelia turned toward Joseph.
No, she said.
But Henry nodded.
That's a damn fine idea. Get the hell out of here and don't come back.
With his jaw tight, Joseph returned Henry's stare for a long moment, then turned to Cordelia. I regret any of my actions that may cause any trouble for you, Miss Brennan. I think you know that such was never my intention.
Oh, Lieutenant Keller, Joseph, you don't have to go.
She clutched at his arm. Gently, he disengaged her fingers from the sleeve of his uniform. It's for the best. His eyes met hers. You know that. The worst of it was that she did know. Yes, it had been nice spending time with him. She had enjoyed talking to him. For the first time in months, perhaps even years, she felt truly alive again when she was around him.